I'm going to read out of 1 Samuel, chapter 25, and it's going to be a lot of reading, so I'm not going to ask you to stand, because it's almost the whole chapter. I'm going to start at verse 2. A man in Maon had a business in Carmel. He was a very rich man with 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats and was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name, Abigail. The woman was intelligent and beautiful, but the man, a Calebite, was harsh and evil in his dealings. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So David sent 10 young men, instructing them, "Go up to Carmel, and when you come to Nabal, greet him in my name. Then say this, 'Long life to you and peace to you, peace to your family and peace to all that is yours. I hear that you are shearing. When your shepherds were with us, we did not harass them, and nothing of theirs was missing the whole time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. So let my young men find favor with you, for we have come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have on hand to your servants and to your son David.' David's young men went and said all these things to Nabal on David's behalf, and they waited. Nabal asked them, 'Who is David? Who is Jesse's son? Many slaves these days are running away from their masters. Am I supposed to take my bread, my water, and my meat that I butchered for my shearers and give them to these men? I don't know where they are from.' David's young men retraced their steps. When they returned to him, they reported all these words. He said this to his men, 'Of you, put on your swords.' So each man put on his sword, and David also put on his sword. About 400 men followed David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of Nabal's young men informed Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master.' But he screamed at them, 'The men treated us very well. When we were in the field, we weren't harassed. Nothing of ours was missing the whole time we were living among them. They were a wall around us both day and night. The entire time we were with them herding the sheep. Now consider carefully what you should do, because there is certain to be trouble for our master and his entire family. He is such a worthless fool, nobody can talk to him.' Abigail hurried, taking 200 loaves of bread, 2 clay jars of wine, 5 butchered sheep, a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she said to her male servants, 'Go ahead of me. I will be right behind you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she rode the donkey down a mountain pass hidden from view, she saw David and his men coming toward her and met them. David had just said, 'I guarded everything that belonged to this man in the wilderness for nothing. He was not missing anything, yet he paid me back evil for good. May God punish me and do so severely if I let any of his males survive until morning.' When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off the donkey and knelt down with her face to the ground and paid homage to David. She knelt at his feet and said, 'The guilt is mine, my lord, but please let your servant speak to you directly. Listen to the words of your servant. My lord should pay no attention to this worthless fool Nabal, for he lives up to his name. His name means stupid, and stupidity is all he knows. I, your servant, didn't see my lord's young man whom you sent. Now, my lord, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, it is the Lord who kept you from participating in bloodshed and avenging yourself by your own hand. May your enemies and those who intend to harm my lord be like Nabal. Let this gift your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord is certain to make a lasting dynasty for my lord, because he fights the Lord's battles. Throughout your life, may evil not be found in you. Someone is pursuing you and intends to take your life. My Lord's life is tucked safely in the place where the Lord your God protects the living, but he is flinging away your enemies like the stones from a sling. When the Lord does for my Lord all the good he promised you and appoints you ruler over Israel, there will not be remorse or a troubled conscience for my Lord because of needless bloodshed or my Lord's revenge. And when the Lord does good things for my Lord, may you remember me, your servant.' Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. May your discernment be blessed, and may you be blessed. Today you kept me from participating in bloodshed and avenging myself by my own hand. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord God of Israel lives, who prevented me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, Nabal wouldn't have had any males left by morning light. Then David accepted what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. See, I have heard what you said and have granted your request." Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you anoint me, that your words will come forth, that what each one is needing to hear will be spoken. We ask it in your name. Amen. It's kind of an interesting story, and I know it's somewhat kind of an odd one for Mother's Day. We'll kind of start with Nabal, and it does mean stupid. It's pretty bad when his own wife said he was stupid. David sent these 10 young men thinking that he was going to receive something from Nabal because he had protected him. He had done a good thing. And Nabal's response was arrogant and insulting. He compared David to a runaway slave and that he was a nobody who was running from Saul. He didn't give him any thought that he was to be crowned king or anything else. So David's plan was to execute vengeance on him and, you know, with his soldiers and kill every male person in the place. And it's interesting, you know, we don't know what servant it was that came and told Abigail, but the servant had the good sense to let the wife know what the stupid husband did. And, you know, and he even said, you know, "I was there. David did nothing but good for us," you know. So I, kind of looking at Abigail, doesn't say if she prayed to the Lord for guidance or, you know, anything of that sort, but I believe that she did. I have a strong suspicion that she prayed all the time to the Lord and had a relationship with him that he let her know, you need to go do this. You need to take care of this. It wasn't hard for her to decide what to do. She knew her husband was a mean man, and so she took provisions to David to help out. But it's interesting to me of why she did it. She didn't do it to save her husband. You know, most people would think, you know, the wife was in this big hurry to save her husband's life because he's going to come back and kill him. But she didn't. She did it so David would not have brought bloodshed on himself for really not a good cause. You know, he was angry and was ready to wipe him out. And that, and she humbled herself before David. She laid down and treated him as he was already a king, and talked to him, blamed herself for it happening, which I thought was really wild. You know, her husband's an idiot, and here she is saying that, you know, it's all my fault. You know, don't blame him for this. But it says, the scripture says that Abigail was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. And I think that beautiful must have been on the inside as well as the outside. Because to have that relationship with the Lord and to do this that she did took courage. It took a great respect for David to bring herself to this point and, you know, prostrate herself before David. She saved her husband by the actions from David. She didn't want anything to no guilt. She didn't want anybody, including himself, saying anything when he became king that you got angry and you did this over here. You know, this was not cool what you did. You destroyed this whole family. So she was doing it to protect him so that he wouldn't have anything to look back on as when he became king, as being the, you know, a person who did not think before they acted. She ran her household in a loving manner, or her servant wouldn't have come to her and told her what was happening. You know, if she had been anything like her husband, the servant wouldn't have bothered telling her anything about it. So we see with it that she ran her household lovingly, and she knew what to do, and she had the courage to do it. She knew how to show respect to David, and I would say God had already shown her, you know, David was going to be king, and this is what you need to do to correct this. I think all of us can learn a lot from Abigail as Christ's example to live as servants. You know, we are his servants. We are examples of his love. Do we show that love to all those around us? Do we serve those around us? You know, my kids grew up in a strange way. I mean, I tried very hard to take that to heart of being a servant. I tried to be a servant to my husband. And my kids took it the wrong way. They looked at it as I was horrible because I allowed him to tell me what to do. You know, this day and age, women don't do that. They don't allow their husband to tell them what to do. You know, I'm my own person. You know, I have my own brain. I have my own thoughts. And I had to explain to him one day, and this was after Rex passed away, that, you know, you criticize, but you don't know the whole story. I said, what you saw was what I wanted you to see. I said, we had our discussions. We had our fights. I let him make the final decision because he's head of the house. But I gave my 2 cents worth. And a lot of times I says that decision that was made was mine. He took mine over his own. So I says, don't criticize me for something you don't know the whole story to. And I think it helped them a little bit on understanding. But they still don't really understand the servant, you know. Christ came as a servant. He knelt down and he washed his disciples' feet. That was a job for a servant to do. You know, he did by example. So we are to serve. Wives, mothers, grandmothers, we are here to serve. Do it in love, in honesty, caring about who we serve. Don't let this world tell you that's not right. Because that's what they'll do. They'll tell you, you know, the women's lib and all the other stuff is, well, that's not what a woman's supposed to do, you know. We have the right to vote. We have the right to do this. We have the right to do that. Yeah, we have the right to do a lot of those things. But the Bible tells us what a woman is supposed to do. And we need to remember what it says. And I'm learning a lot about serving with these jobs. And that Elm Homes, to start with, taught me a lot about serving. Because these people, that's what you do. You serve them. You take care of them. And I found I actually came to love them. And the same with the clients I have now. I'm there to serve them. Take them places that they need to go or where they want to go. Do things that they enjoy doing. We sat Thursday night, my client and I, and colored. Sat at the table and colored. And made a Mother's Day gift for her mom. And it was enjoyable. I had fun doing it. And if anybody would have ever told me that I would have enjoyed coloring with someone, that type of person, you know, that we are here to serve, it's not a job I ever thought of myself being in. And so, you know, I'm learning a lot about it. And God is teaching me what it means to serve God. out of love. God moves and things happen. And sometimes things happen that you didn't expect. Learn to serve out of love, not expecting anything out of it. You know, Abigail came and did this stuff. The only thing she was thinking of was saving David from doing something that would later on come back and could hurt him. She wasn't thinking about what would happen to her. She didn't think about what was going to happen to her husband. That's all she was thinking about, was being a servant to David. So watch what God will do when you change, when you allow him to change you. We don't change on our own. We don't become servants on our own. It's not easy. I'm going to read a little bit further in this story to tell what happens to Nabal. It says, verse 36 says, "Then Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was in his house, holding a feast fit for a king. Nabal's heart was cheerful, and he was very drunk. So she didn't say anything to him until morning light. In the morning, when Nabal sobered up, his wife told him about these events. His heart died, and he became a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal dead. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, 'Blessed be the Lord who championed my cause against Nabal's insults and restrained his servant from doing evil. The Lord brought Nabal's evil deeds back on his own head.'" So when we do what's right, and when we listen to what God has to say, and that God will take care of what needs to be taken care of. We don't have to worry about, oh, they got away with that. Or, you know, they called me names and they said this and that, and, oh, I just think I should just go and tell them what for. We don't need to. God's already taking care of it. We may not see the result, but it will get taken care of. A little further in there, and that after Nabal was dead and David found out about it, he eventually took Abigail as his wife. And I'm reasonably sure that's not what she expected to have happen. But I'm sure that she stayed being a servant all through it. And I think it's a great example for us women, and that to be like her, you know, to humbly prostrate ourselves before the Lord to begin with, and then allow him to make us servants for him for the rest of the world. Stay in tune, build your relationship with Jesus, so you'll be aware of the situations and that will need your attention, and that God can use you as a servant. For the woman, be beautiful on the inside as well as the outside. If we keep our relationship with Jesus as it should be, we'll be beautiful on the inside. It will make others see the beauty in us. We'll show others the love of Jesus. Treat them with the care of a servant, humbly serving those around us in all we do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words. Help us to be what you want us to be, Lord, to take to heart Abigail and how she treated David, and how we need to treat others to be a servant for you, Lord. Just help us in every aspect of our life. We ask it in your name. Amen. And our closing song is page 479, Softly and Tenderly.